heart and our life tonight. Jesus, let your word, the living word of God, the rhema of God, speak to us where we are. Let it be quickened into our spirit by your spirit, O God, that your will would be wrought in us, that your desire would be accomplished in us individually and collectively as a body of believers. In Jesus' name, we thank you. Everybody said amen. The book of Genesis, chapter number 7. We're going to start there with verse number 13. Genesis 7 and verse 13. In the selfsame day entered Noah and Shem and Ham and Japheth, the sons of Noah, and Noah's wife and the three wives of his sons with them into the ark. They and every beast after his kind, and all the cattle after their kind, and every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth after his kind, and every fowl after his kind, every bird of every sort. And they went in unto Noah into the ark, two and two of all flesh, wherein is the breath of life. And they that went in male and female of all flesh, as God had commanded him. And watch. And the Lord, we went on past the verse 16. And the Lord shut him in. Verse 17, the flood was 40 days on the earth. The waters increased, bare up the ark. It was lift up above the earth. The waters prevailed and were increased greatly upon the earth, and the ark went upon the face of the waters. The waters prevailed exceedingly upon the earth, and all the high hills that were under the whole heaven were covered. There's a lot of water. 15 cubits upward did the waters prevail. I don't know how many cubits 15 cubits is, but that's a lot. I remember driving through the Redwoods in California last year when we were taking Joe down to college. And I remember there being a place that we passed through, and they had, there beside the road, they had this big tall pole. I think we took a picture of it. And I can't remember. It was almost, I don't think it was quite, but it seemed like it was close to 20 feet up the pole. There was this bar sticking out. Now, we were driving on the road down below. We look up, and there it is. We stop. And that marker marked where the floodwaters rose to in a flood that had taken place in the 1900s. I was trying to imagine looking at, I mean, it wasn't like it was way down in this deep valley that I couldn't even imagine how, with all of those trees and in that mountain, how in the world? That's a lot of water. The scripture says it was 15 cubits upward, even the mountains were covered. And all, watch verse 21. And all flesh died that moved on the earth, both of fowl and of cattle and of beast and every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth, and every man. Every man. That word man there means man, woman, boy, girl. Every living human being. Verse 22. All in whose nostrils was the breath of life, of all that was in the dry land died. Notice, he didn't say all that were in the floodwaters died. He said all that were in the dry land died. They were deceived by the dry land. They were deceived by where they were. They had more confidence in where they were than what the Word of God said through the man of God. And every living substance was destroyed on the face of the ground, man, cattle, creeping things, fowl of heaven. They were destroyed from the earth. And Noah only remained alive, and they that were with him in the ark. And Noah only remained alive, and they that were with him in the ark. How many have heard that story before? All of us, haven't we? There's a comedian that makes a joke about it. I never really thought about it until I heard him tell the joke. Sort of true. He's like, what's the deal? We paint babies' nurseries with Noah's Ark and all the little animals. Babies grow up seeing that on their wall, and then when they get a little older, they say, what's that? And we tell them, oh, that's where God killed everything except those people right there. Never thought about it that way, you know, but sort of funny when we say it lighthearted that way, but when you consider the devastation, it's not a funny thing, is it? And you can read that passage of Scripture, or I can read that passage of Scripture, and you can think, God, how could you, a God full of mercy and love, I read this about you, and compassion and all the goodness of God, how is it possible that you would allow only 8 people to be saved, and you would cause such devastation on the earth that you would destroy every other human being alive? What kind of God does that? I mean, if you just read those verses we read, it can seem awful unfair. It can seem awful extreme that God would do this thing where he would kill every breathing creature, right? Every creature in whose nostrils was the breath of life was destroyed. Creeping thing, flying thing, and every human being was destroyed that was found in the dry land. Nothing remained. And we could look at that, and some people do who don't believe and would point fingers and say, oh, sure, God loves. What about the flood? He killed everybody except 8 people. What kind of love is that? And of course, if we look at that and look at God in that context, we are only getting part of the story. Because we know God is full of mercy. We know God has mercy that endures forever. We know he's a God of compassion. We know that he desires to draw us unto himself. But we read this story, and if we just read the little section that we read tonight, we miss the fact that Noah was instructed of the Lord to build this ark. What he did in obedience to the word of God. And the whole time he was building, he was declaring the word of God to people. The mercy of God was declaring the word of God to people the whole time he was building. Not only was he declaring, people were watching this ark being built. They were watching the process day in and day out. They didn't just pass by and go, well, I don't know, it's just a plain field. Nothing's happening over there. No, there was a project taking place. There were trees being cut down and brought in. They were being sawed up and boarded out. And all of this stuff was happening, and pitch was being put on. And all kinds of, there's a work that's happening and it's visible to people. And maybe at first they thought, well, maybe he's building a shed or something, but it didn't take long. I'm not sure how long, but they began to see there's something more here than anything like we've ever seen before. And Noah started declaring something to the people while he was building. He said, the Lord is going to cause it to rain and it's going to flood the earth, and I'm building an ark to save us. And people heard the message. People saw the building going on. And you know what they said? They said, Noah, you're crazy. You're crazy. A flood? Rain? On the earth? It's never happened. You're talking about... Tell us this again. Come here, you got to hear what Noah has to say. You're not going to believe this. Tell him, Noah, tell us. And Noah, as serious could be, as sincere as a man of God with a word from God, declared, the Lord's going to cause it to rain. Men have done evil in the eyes of God, and he's going to destroy them. He's making a way of escape. I'm building. I'm doing the work of God. Told you he was crazy, didn't I? And they would leave. And Noah kept working, kept building, kept working, kept building. This went on 10 years. Same message being preached. Don't you know, people, it just became maybe... This is how I picture it in my mind, anyway. I mean, this had to become quite the spectacle, didn't it? Right? And so can you imagine sitting around the house one Wednesday night after work and you're having dinner with your family and you're talking about the weekend. And what should we do this weekend? Oh, I don't know. What do you want to do? I don't know. You know, we haven't been out there and seen that thing that crazy guy Noah's doing in a few weeks. Why don't we just saddle up the camels and head back? Let's just hang out and watch him work for a little while. I just imagine, year after year, it had to become a spectacle. And people had to come out to see, because we know that Noah preached to them. And I don't think they were coming going, how can we help with this crazy thing you're doing? And so they came to watch, and when they came, Noah said, I'm telling you, God is going to cause it to rain, and he's going to flood the earth, and it's going to destroy all of mankind, and I'm building something that God has given me to build, and it's going to be a way to be saved. And they laughed at him. You're crazy, Noah. And he preached the message for 30 years and 40 years. And 50 years and 60 years, the same message over and over and over again. And people heard the message, and maybe, just maybe, somebody heard him and thought, there could be something to what he's saying. Could be something to what he's saying. You know, I've heard, I think maybe he's a little crazy, but man, the guy hasn't wavered. But another 10 years went by, and another 20 years went by, and nah, he's crazy. I don't know what he's talking about. It's not going to happen. 70 years, 80 years, 90 years, 100 years. The same message. You think you get tired sometimes on a Friday night when one of us are here ministering. At least it's usually a different message. Years he preached the same message. Why would he even put up with the rejection, the ridicule, the doubt, the mocking for 120 years? I'll tell you why. It was the mercy of God. It was the mercy of God. Could God have caused the rain to fall after 40 years and fixed it so that Noah would have been done in 40 years? Absolutely. did he have him preach for 120 years? Because the mercy of God was reaching. The mercy of God was reaching. The mercy of God was reaching. Maybe someone will lay hold of the message and believe it to be true and get their family and get them into the ark. Maybe someone will realize there's truth to the word of God in the man of God's mouth and respond and get their family in the ark. But we read there in Genesis chapter 7 that Moses and his wife and his three boys and their three wives went in. Animals went in. But no other humanity went in. Because even after hearing the word of God for 120 years, nobody really took it seriously except Noah and his family. To me, it's got to be the most tragic story in history to this point. You understand, all of mankind except 8 people died. Because they wouldn't respond to the word of God. God was not unmerciful. He extended mercy for 120 years. He let them see the ark before their very eyes. They witnessed it. And they still rejected it. The way was right in front of them. Wasn't far off. It was right there in front of them. And they rejected the ark. And they rejected a message. And they died in their sin. Matthew chapter 24. Matthew 24 and verse 35. We've been talking about the Word of God tonight, giving out Bibles and stuff. Matthew 24 and 35 says, "Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words shall not pass away." The Lord Jesus Christ is speaking here. "But of that day and hour knoweth no man, no, not the angels of heaven, but my Father only." Watch verse 37. "But as the days of Noe were," or as the days of Noah were, "so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be." Verse 38. "For as in the days that were before the flood, they were eating, they were drinking, they were marrying, they were given in marriage, until the day that Noe entered into the ark. And they knew not until the flood came and took them all away. So shall also the coming of the Son of Man be." It's a serious word of the Lord. "Then shall two be in the field. The one shall be taken and the other left." I read that verse, living in these valleys. I think of all the people working in the fields and the orchards. Verse 41, "Two women shall be grinding at the mill. The one shall be taken and the other left." Hear the instruction of the Lord. Verse 42. Watch therefore. "For you know not what hour your Lord doth come. But know this. If the goodman of the house had known in what watch the thief would come, He would have watched. If he'd have known the hour, he would have watched. And he would not have suffered his house to be broken up. Therefore, be ye also ready. Why? For in the hour, or in such an hour as you think not, the Son of Man cometh. Who then is faithful? Wise servant whom his Lord hath made ruler over his household to give them meat in due season. Blessed is that servant whom his Lord, when he cometh, shall find so doing. Verily I say to you that he shall make him ruler over all his goods. But, and if that evil servant shall say in his heart, my Lord delayeth his coming. Notice, the Lord equated someone who said the Lord is delaying his coming. He called them an evil servant. The Lord said a servant who has the mindset that, well, the Lord is delaying his coming. The Lord said, that's an evil servant. Verse 49. And shall begin to smite his fellow servants to eat and drink with the drunken. The Lord of that servant shall come in a day when he looks not for him, and in an hour that he is not aware of. And what's the Lord going to do? He shall cut him asunder. He'll appoint him his portion with hypocrites, where there shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. That doesn't sound like a merciful God, does it? That would cut his servant asunder, and that would appoint his portion with hypocrites, and that would send him to a place of weeping and gnashing of teeth. The Lord would do that to a servant. One that would say the Lord delays his coming and not be ready. If the Lord was merciful to the people in the days of Noah, and he gave them 120 years, how merciful is the Lord being now? In the fact that at this point he's given us already about 2,000 years. That this message of the gospel of Jesus Christ, the death, the burial, and the resurrection, that was preached just 50 days after the resurrection, or after Calvary, just 50 days after Calvary, this message began to be preached of repentance, baptism in Jesus' name, the infilling of the Holy Ghost. That just 50 days after that, and for 2,000 years since then, the same message has lived. Men have tried to squelch it. People have tried to disprove it. It's been tried to be pushed to the other side of the tracks, or as though people are crazy because they baptize in the name or they speak in other tongues. But again and again, it has risen again by the power of the Spirit of God. And it is declared as truth that it is. And it stood the test of time. And men have taken and received, and some have rejected and said they're crazy. And this hasn't been done in a corner. Spread across the earth. The Azusa Street Revival at the turn of the century in 1900, it spread across the earth, the noise of it. People came from the four corners of the world to see and hear what was happening and be a part, and they were taken in by the move of the Spirit of God, and they went there some just to see and spectate, but when they got in the presence of God with a hungry heart, they were baptized with the gift of the Holy Ghost and began to speak in other tongues and went back to where they came from on fire and began to spread this gospel message. In Noah's day, the Lord was merciful 120 years with the same message. We live in a time where God has been merciful and gracious for 2,000 years with the same message. The Lord Jesus himself said, just like it was in Noah's day, That's exactly how it's going to be when I return to take away my church. He said, I'm going to return, and people are going to be caught up in living their own life rather than the work of the kingdom of God and what I would ask of them. They're going to be eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage, pleasures of life consuming them. Oh, sure, the Lord's coming, but I mean, I've got a lot to do, and I don't think we're quite there yet. And so, in an hour when you think not, he said, the Son of Man cometh. And there will be two in the field, and one will be taken, and the other will be left. In our day and hour, we could say there'll be two at the gas station, and one will be taken, and the other left. I'm telling you as directly as I know how. It is certain we see the signs all around us. The Lord is coming soon. The Lord is coming soon. And we could fall into the trap of going, yeah, I've heard that before. Noah's heard that. Noah's, the people around Noah, they'd heard that. Yeah, it's going to rain. It ain't raining. It is not a time to be complacent in our walk with God. I'm afraid that what happens if we're not careful is we would like to try to figure out, how can I live with one foot in the ark and one foot on dry land? Could I just stay close to the ark and enjoy life on dry land, but that way when the raindrops start falling, I'll just dive in the door? Is there a way I can be somehow closely related and connected to the church, because you understand the ark was a type and shadow of the church? Is there a way that I can, you know, participate, have a part in the church to some degree, you know, attend periodically and feel like I'm connected, and that, but still go live my life the way I want to, even if it violates the word of God, and do the things I want to do in my own way, and my time be my time rather than God's time, and my thinking be my thinking rather than God's thinking, and me hold to my opinions, and but close enough to the church so that when I hear a trumpet, I can dive in. You know, I'm not going to apologize tonight. I know I usually, I don't believe in preaching fear. You understand? This isn't about fear tonight. But we must know he's coming soon. And we have to examine our walk and our relationship in the body of Christ. And we have to examine, am I in the church? Or am I connected to it? You know, there were people clamoring at the ark when the rain started. They were all around it, but they weren't in it. And you can be around it and not in it. And if you're around it and not in it, you're going to die in your sin. I must be in it. See, we have an indication in the Old Testament. The Lord shut them in. And if you read and study the story of Noah, the Lord shut them in before the rain started. So once the rain started, it was too late. Well, if the Lord loved them, he would have at least left it open for the first day of rain so they'd had a chance. No. He gave them 120 years. Message after message after message after message after message. And they rejected the word of God. He's coming soon. He's coming soon. I want every soul that I can reach to be in the ark. You say, well, God wouldn't destroy the world and just save a handful. Eight? The rest of the world destroyed? We sort of have a record that says he would. Why would he do that? Maybe God should just relax on his word a little bit. No, then he wouldn't be God. Is it any wonder in Matthew 24 that he said, heaven and earth may pass away, but my word will never pass away. I've never had this thought before until I was praying and reading these scriptures and they were turning in my heart. I thought, you know, that ark, you look at it, if 5,000 people had responded to the message, I don't know how that would have worked with all those animals and all those people. See, the Lord knew the hearts of men, said they were on evil continually. That the thoughts of their hearts were evil continually. The Lord gave them opportunity. But the Lord, who knows the end from the beginning, he knew their heart. I find it interesting when I read Scripture, the Lord, of course, created hell. He did not create it for mankind. He created it for Satan and the fallen angels that were cast out. That's why he created hell. It wasn't God's intention that mankind would go to hell. That was never his plan. Originally, that was not his plan. But when men begin to give in to the whims of Satan, we find the Lord doing something. The Scripture says that hell did something. The Scripture says that hell hath enlarged herself. That's a pretty sad stretch of Scripture there. And I had this thought when I was reading this, thinking about this, praying through this. What a tragedy that somewhere along the way, the Lord didn't have to come back to Noah and say, Noah, you're going to have to redesign and enlarge the ark. I feel a turning of men's hearts. Beautiful thing about the church is the church is big enough for everybody. But there's only one way in. It's through him. Amen. Why don't you stand with me tonight? I realize this is somewhat of a I don't know if that's the right word, a sobering message, if you will. I feel a responsibility to share it. I feel a responsibility to share it because of where we are in time. Where we are in time. Does that mean I need to start living in fear? Goodness gracious, no. If I know when that trumpet sounds, I'm in the church, I'm living in joy. The Thessalonians, Paul said, comfort one another with these words. The Lord's coming back. Comfort one another with these words. The only way those words aren't comforting is if I'm not in the ark. Can I say this to you? I'm going to say this to you. If you're not sure you're in the ark, I'd get sure. I'd get sure. I'd get my life in alignment with the Word of God. I'd get into the Word of God. You understand, Peter told us that the ark and Noah coming through the flood was a type and a shadow of baptism. He said, likewise, he talked about the ark and Noah, and he said, likewise doth baptism now save us. What was he saying? The ark went through the flood. When your body goes through the waters of baptism, you're covered in the blood. I'd get buried in the name of Jesus, and then I'd receive the gift of the Holy Ghost and let my life begin to be led by His Spirit, that Spirit of truth that Joel talked about when he opened the service tonight. I'd let that Spirit of truth begin to lead me instead of being led by the deceiving God of this world who wants me to play petty to my own desires and whims rather than listen to the voice and the Spirit of God and let Him direct my life. I'd get in the ark. I'd get in the ark. I'd get in the church. I'd make a commitment like I've never made before. I'd cast off some things if they were keeping me from getting in. I want to open this altar to you tonight. Why don't you come and find a place to pray? I'd get in the ark. And if I'm in, I'd let the Lord do something in my spirit so that I began to reach like Noah reached. To those around me with the love of God and with the gospel of Christ. I'd realign my priorities. Come on, He's coming soon. That's a blessed hope. That's a glorious hope. That's a wonderful hope. It's not something to live in fear of. It's something to recognize and rejoice in. He's coming soon. I want to be in the boat. I want to be in the ark. Maybe I've given a little too much time, thought, and attention to my own pleasures rather than the kingdom of God. I want to be in the church. Come on, He's invited. Whosoever will, let him come. Doesn't matter background, social background, economic background. None of those things matter. He said, if you'll come and you'll repent of your sin, you'll be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sin. He will fill you and I with the gift of the Holy Ghost. And then we can live a life where we're led by His Spirit, directed by His Spirit. In the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus. Thank you.
creation, all of the earth, make straight a highway, path for the Lord. Jesus is coming soon. Call back the sinner, wake up the saints, let every nation shout of your fame. Jesus is coming soon. Like a bride waiting for her groom, we'll be a church ready for you. Every heart longing for our King, we see. Even so,
stand as we get ready to dismiss. I'm thankful for the word of God that we've heard tonight. Titus chapter 2 verse 11, it says, "The grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men." I'll say it one more time. The grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men. I don't know how he does it, but all means all. The grace of God has appeared that brings salvation. We've experienced that tonight. Amen. I'm thankful for that. I feel like the Lord accomplished two things tonight. More than this, but this is what he was dealing with me about. He showed us how he intends to save, how he intends to reach. Okay? So that we can share that with others. But even more than that, he's given us that opportunity to receive that ourselves tonight. Amen. It's twofold. We receive it, we accept it, we walk in it, and we share it. Amen. I'm thankful for that. We have our offering plates up here before you go. If you'd like to drop in your tithes or offerings, let's just pray before we're dismissed. Lord Jesus, we thank you, God, for your presence that's here tonight. We thank you for your awesome power, God. We thank you for the truth of your word, God. And we thank you for the revelation of your ministry that we've received tonight. Thank you for your hand, God, that's reached out to us tonight. For your grace, Lord, that you've offered and extended to us. For your mercy, God, that you've made available to each person here. We receive it, God, tonight. We accept it. Help us to walk in it, Lord Jesus. In the name of Jesus, let your grace go before us, God. Let your mercy go before us, Lord Jesus. Lord, we pray right now, God, your will be accomplished in this earth for this hour, God. You've called us each, God. You've chosen us for this time. Lord, I pray you would help us to walk, God, in a newness of life. Led by you, directed by you, God, where our steps are ordered by you. In the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, your spirit, God, let it go before us. Let it prepare the hearts of men, Jesus, that we could share your word with them. Jesus, that we could share our testimony and our witness with them. Lord, that your same saving grace and power would reach, Lord, through us, in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Let's just give him some praise. Thank you, God. Hallelujah. Praise be to your name, Jesus. Glory be to your name, Jesus. Thank you, oh God. Hallelujah, Jesus. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. Thank you, Jesus. In Jesus' name, you're dismissed. Remember your tithes and offerings here. Greet one another in Jesus' name. Amen.